Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home.
That's right, Christmas time is coming. It's just a handful of days away. Good to see you today. Welcome to Mark and Friends. Psalm 56, verse 3 says, "What I am afraid, I put my trust in you." If you were listening to Monday, you know that's our Memorization Monday scripture passage this week, Psalm 56, verse 3. So good to see you, Fred. Welcome to Thursday. Yeah, here we are, 10 days into the month of December. I am Joey Kroll. And every Thursday I have the great joy of sitting behind this microphone and being the guest host. And I've been doing it now for many years. In fact, our great WLUJ listeners have just been introduced to Mark and Friends. But I've been part of Mark and Friends now, I think, was it 10 years? Just about 10 years. So, yes, that's when I was a young pup. I was knee-high to a grasshopper. I had a little less gut, a whole lot more hair on my head. The good old days. But it's all kidding aside, it's a great honor to sit behind this microphone here on this Thursday. Today, I'll tell you what, friend, you are in for a great treat today. I really do mean that. You know, many churches, many of us believers, we are excited about this Advent season, this Christmas season, celebrating when God came down in a form of a baby through a virgin to provide hope for you and for me. That cradle led to a cross where Jesus would die for our sins and 3 days later come back to life. And so today I thought we would celebrate that great truth today, the birth of Christ, in a classic message from somebody I don't think I've ever played on a Thursday morning here, Pastor Adrian Rogers. Now, God called him home, 15 years ago. He was a minister of the gospel, founder of the radio program Love Worth Finding and radio and TV. He has had 18 books written in his lifetime. His accomplishments and awards are just too numerous to count. And so today, let's hear an incredible message from Adrian Rogers entitled His Unequaled Birth from Luke Chapter 2, here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends.
Take God's word and turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story. I'm going to begin reading in the verse 1 of Luke chapter 2. Upon an occasion, I had an opportunity to witness to Muhammad Ali. And I had prayed much about it, and God arranged it where we could be together in a small room late at night, actually before one of his fights. And we were talking about Jesus Christ, and I'd had a prayer in my heart that this man might receive Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And he was studying the Islamic faith. And so we were talking back and forth. And he challenged me with this question. He said, "You say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God because he was born of a virgin. He didn't have an earthly father." Then he said to me, "Adam didn't have a father or a mother. Wouldn't that make Adam more a son of God than Jesus?" I said, "Champ, I want you to understand this. Jesus was not the son of God because he was born of a virgin. He was born of a virgin because he was the son of God." You see, Jesus did not have his start in Bethlehem. Jesus stepped out of the glory, as we've already told you. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. We're going to be talking today about the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm aware that the world laughs at the idea of a virgin birth. They think of that as some sort of primitive medieval superstition or something. They laugh, they mock at the idea of the virgin birth. I can tell you furthermore, the devil hates the idea of the virgin birth because it teaches both the humanity and the deity of his nemesis and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But worse than the mockery of this world and the hatred of Satan is the ignorance of many so-called Christians concerning the virgin birth. Many of them doubt it. Some don't believe it at all. And others think that it is incidental. Friend, I want to show you in this message that you have no hope of salvation apart from the virgin birth. I want to show you that if you take away the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you have destroyed the whole foundation of Christianity. And it will all collapse like a house of cards. It is not incidental. It is fundamental. Three thoughts. First of all, I want you to think of the sacred mystery of His birth. Now go back to chapter 1. The angel has announced to Mary that she is going to be with child. Now Mary is a virgin. She is espoused to a man named Joseph, but they've not come together in the act of marriage. The ceremony has not yet transpired. They're not living together as husband and wife. And yet the angel Gabriel says, Mary, you're going to have a baby. Now she asks a very pertinent question, beginning in verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? Big question. How's this going to happen? This is a mystery to me. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now the word know not literally means that she's not had sexual relations with a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Underscore the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God, underscore this now, folks. You might underscore this next phrase two or three times. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Now, if you have difficulty with that, you're going to have difficulty with the virgin birth. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, we're talking about the mystery of the virgin birth. May I tell you that the virgin birth does not depend upon your understanding for its validation? Is that okay? You don't have to understand it to validate it. There are a lot of things we don't understand. We don't understand how a brown cow can eat green grass and give white milk turns to yellow butter. We don't understand that. Folks, I'm telling you a lot of things we don't understand, but we experience. The late, great Vance Havner said, I don't understand electricity, but I'm not going to sit around in the dark until I do. Now, Mary asks a question, a good question. How can this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, there's some people who say, is not the idea of a virgin birth, is that not a biological impossibility? Again, I want to tell you that God can do anything He well pleases because He is God. I have no difficulty with the virgin birth if I believe in creation. Fred, I've often said if you can get past Genesis 1:1, you're home free concerning miracles. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You have difficulty believing a virgin birth? Listen to me, precious friend. God made the first man without a father or a mother, out of nothing. That may be a mystery to you, but it is not a mystery to God. Don't worry if you can't explain the virgin birth. You couldn't explain the virgin birth any more than you could explain God. When you can explain God, then perhaps you can explain the virgin birth. You see, there is this sacred mystery of the virgin birth. Great is the mystery of godliness. We join Mary in saying, how can this be? And we join the angel when we say, with God all things are possible. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Settled. That's it. God did it. If you have difficulty believing in the virgin birth, I'll tell you what your real difficulty is. Your God is too small. Your God is too small. Second point. I want you to see not only the sacred mystery of it, but I want you to see, and this is very important, the saving ministry of the virgin birth. Now, let's begin in Luke 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. That means they were scared out of their wits. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, now underscore this phrase, a Savior. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The virgin birth and the incarnation, that is, God being made flesh, was necessary for our salvation. Now, I want you to follow me here. God gave Adam and Eve dominion in the Garden of Eden. They sinned, and they lost that dominion. They forfeited it. They turned it over to Satan. And rather than being servants of God, they became slaves of Satan. And they infected the entire human race with sin. Our dominion was lost by a man. The only way it can ever be returned to us is by another man. And that other man is the Lord Jesus. All of us today are represented by one of two men, either Adam or Jesus. In Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. There are really only two men who've ever lived, and the rest of us are part and parcel of those two men. Now, Jesus Christ, the last Adam, came, born of a virgin, to undo what the first Adam did. Now, apart from the virgin birth, therefore, there is no hope of salvation. Well, how did he come to undo what the first Adam did? Well, the Bible clearly, plainly teaches that the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And the Bible says, without shedding of blood is no remission. Now, sin must be paid for. It must be atoned. And it must be atoned by shed blood. God in spirit has no blood. Now, God is spirit, the Bible says. The great eternal I am is spirit. Well, the great eternal I am cannot die. The great eternal I am cannot bleed. But this salvation was lost by man. This dominion was lost by man. Therefore, it must be redeemed by man. For without shedding of blood is no remission. But not just any man can do. This man must be a perfect man. He must be sinless. And he also must be innocent. Now listen, we're all sons and daughters of Adam by birth. And no son or daughter of Adam can qualify. Why? Put in your Bible, Romans 5:12, in your margin. The Bible says, Wherefore, as by one man, his name is Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, had Jesus Christ been born like we were born, he would have been a son of Adam. Had he been a son of Adam, he would have been a sinner. Had he been a sinner, he could not have been innocent. Had he not been innocent, he could have been nobody's substitute, not mine, not yours, nobody else's. The only sin he could die for would be his own. Now, God wants us saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that we might be saved. And so therefore, God's answer is a man, but a sinless man. A perfect man. The God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone who was both truly human and fully sinless. Human, that he might undo what the first Adam did. That he might shed blood, but that blood must be sinless blood. Whose blood was in that baby? The blood of God circulated through that little baby in its mother's womb. Sinless blood. Innocent blood. That's the reason I said you take away the virgin birth, you have no hope of heaven. He was born of a virgin that we might be born again. He came to earth that we might go to heaven. He became the Son of Man that we might become the sons and the daughters of God. That's what it's all about. That is why we have the virgin birth. Now, had he not been born of a virgin, he would have been a son of Adam. Mendel, who did his great work in genetics, said this concerning genetics. Every individual is the sum total of the characteristics recessive or dominant in its two progenitors. Every individual, everybody here, is the sum total of the characteristics recessive or dominant in its two progenitors, that is, its two parents. Let me put that in plain English. All that was in your father and mother is in you. Now, suppose the parents of the Lord Jesus Christ had been both deity, God plus God. Then he would have been God, because all that was in his parents was in him. He would have been God, fully God, yes, perfectly God. But there'd be no humanity there. He would be remote, unapproachable. There's no way that he could save. Well, suppose that the parents of the Lord Jesus Christ had not been God plus God, but human plus human. Then Jesus would have been fully human. He would have inherited the characteristics of his father and his mother. And in Adam all die, he would have been a sinner and could have been nobody's savior. But now let's suppose that his father, not suppose, but learn, that his father is truly God. His mother is truly human. Then who is he? He is God in human flesh. He is the God-man. Not half God and half man. Not all God and no man. Not all man and no God. He is the only begotten Son of God. Amen. He is the only one qualified to die upon that cross for our salvation. Never overlook, never mock the virgin birth. Thank God that God stepped out of heaven and was born of a virgin. That's the reason the angel said, "This is good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now I come to the third and final point. I've talked about the sacred mystery of his birth. I've talked about the saving ministry of his birth. Let me talk to you about the sovereign majesty of his birth. Look again in Luke chapter 1. Let's begin in verse 30. And the angel said unto her, the angel now is Gabriel, her is Mary. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. And by the way, the name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now we're talking about the sovereign majesty of this baby, the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, as the Son of God, he shares the nature of God, like Father, like Son. Who is this baby virgin born? Plain, straight, simple. Listen to me. He is God in human flesh. Now, the liberal theologians do not accept this. But let me tell you what the Bible says. Put in your margin. Hebrews 1 verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. Now listen, he's talking to the Son. To the Son, S-O-N, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. This baby is as much God as if not man at all. He is the earthly child of a heavenly father and the heavenly child of an earthly mother. That little baby, lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, with his dimpled feet touching the straw, is the mighty God of Genesis 1:1. Do you believe it? I believe it. The Apostle John believed it. John 1, verses 1 through 3. Listen, in the beginning was the Word. The Word is another name for Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, Now here it comes. And the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He made the manger that He lie in. He is God from everlasting. Jesus did not begin with Mary in Bethlehem. He existed as ageless with His Father in heaven. As has been well said, when He was born, He was as ageless as His Father and older than His mother. And He has come to rule and to reign. What's the world coming to? It's coming to Jesus. His is the cradle that will rock the world. This is the time when you need to get saved. And I want to lead you in a prayer. And in this prayer, you can pray and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Pray this way. Lord God, I confess that I'm a sinner, that I need to be saved. Jesus, You died to save me. You promised to save me if I would trust You. I do trust You. I believe You shed Your blood on the cross to pay for my sin. I believe that God raised You from the dead. And I now receive You by faith as my personal Lord and Savior.
Amen. Friend, I hope you were encouraged as Dr. Rogers talked about the sacred mystery, the saving ministry, and the sovereign majesty of Jesus Christ, His unequaled birth. Well, before we put a wrap on today's program, be sure to get your December edition of Prime Lifetime. Some great articles in there this month for the holiday season, including my column is there as well. Just find out more about where you can get your copy. Just visit primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com, and click on the tab that says distribution list. Until next time, just remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.